Excuse me. Didn't mean to yawn like that. Oh, we're on the air. Willard?
Hmm?
Willard, will you wake up, Willard? We're on the air.
No, don't. Don't.
Oh, I can't believe we're going to be on.
Bobby, would you wake up? Bobby, we're on the air.
Oh, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I guess I better explain what's happening.
This is 7:07.
It's time for the Joy Boy Show.
7:07. It's a jet show.
In case you're wondering why we're all yawning, we all stayed up last night, of course, watching the convention.
It was a very bad idea you had about that. Convention party over at your house.
Well, you know what happened finally when I did go to bed, I couldn't sleep, see, because I had I passed the time when I was real sleepy, and I tossed and turned all night.
Did Shetton ever go home?
No, he stayed over there.
Fellas, are we on?
Yeah, Arthur, I see the light is on in the studio. George. George, come here. Sloppy, you got an olive in your pocket. Here.
George, you think you could possibly start the turntable and cue up the theme? And
walk over and start the machine. Glad these conventions only come once every 4 years.
I don't think I could take it every time.
The public is going to be on 2 weeks when they have more time. Merch.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
The olive fell right into the turntable.
Well, this is the Joy Boy Show.
Got hung up in the motor.
The show must go on, tired or not. And this is Ed Walker here.
That's Willard Scotty here. That's Bobby Shedden, our recording engineer.
Big nothing.
Hi, Dr. Page.
George Brewington is in there. Well, we have a show tonight I think you'll be interested in. We're going to switch you out to Los Angeles and have some reports from the convention floor, and we'll have a couple of interesting interviews. And we did get a nice letter in the mail, seriously. Willard, you got a phone call about it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's all right. The show is still going to go on tonight, regardless of people who complain. Actually, this is kind of cute. Mrs. Laughlin called up today, at noon or so, and told us that her little 5-year-old daughter, who incidentally is celebrating her birthday today,
Pam
Laughlin, is 5 years old. So she's going to Bible school over at Veers Mill Baptist Church, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of little kids are going to Bible school like we used to do when we were little kids. Remember the song, Joy, Joy, Joy?
I got the joy down in my heart.
Where? Down in, you know.
I remember.
We used to sing that in Sunday school. Well, apparently little Pam is a fan of, guess who?
Bob and Ray.
No.
a fan of the Joy Boys?
Jackson and Perkins.
And what does she say?
She sings, I've got the joy, joy, joy boys down in my heart.
Very cute, huh? We've got a new song here.
I think it's cute.
That's very cute. I'm glad that Pam's mother called to tell us.
Sounds like we made that up, but we didn't.
We didn't. It's actually true.
Actually happened.
It happened.
They said it couldn't be done.
And they said we couldn't get music on this show, but they're wrong.
Well, it's Scott speaking to you from the floor of the Coliseum here in Big L. And ladies and gentlemen, in the background you may possibly hear the music of an organ. I don't know if you can hear it or not real well, but from where I am, I can hear it. Let's see. Can you, George, can you pick it up there? Turn the mic over. And, of course, part of the color, part of the wonderful background of this convention and all conventions is that Hammond organ. It's a very... It's a very famous organ, and it's an organ that makes this convention really ring. We thought that we'd talk to the organist and interview him, because he is probably the only person on the whole floor that hasn't been interviewed since this convention got underway.
Watch out, the mic cable caught my foot pedal there, which is one of the...
Sorry.
The organ.
Here he is. Our own organist for this convention, Mr. Jesse Hammond.
How do you do? You don't mind if I keep playing while we're talking here, do you?
Certainly not, Jess. May I call you Jess?
Oh, yes, certainly. Everybody does.
All right, Mr. Does.
And,
I am.
This is a real thrilling convention here, isn't it?
First of all, may I ask you the personal question? Are you for the party that's this party?
Oh, yes. Any party. Whenever people get together and they have a party, believe me, I'm right there.
Now, you're playing.
Playing Live It Up, you know,
I noticed
all
the
night
song you're playing right now is You Can't Be True to Here. Is there any reason for that?
Yes. This is the song that we play whenever the delegates start switching their votes. And the guy who is losing out requests this song, and I always have this music ready to play called You Can't Be True, Dear. Now, we have another song, too, that I'd like to show you. See, we have songs for special occasions. Now, you may not realize this, but the music is all scientifically picked for this convention. I don't just play at random. Now, do you recognize this song?
Let's get to hear a little bit of it. Every little movement has a meaning
all its own.
All its own.
That's right.
Would you like to tell us, what does this signify?
Well, whenever the various delegates are having a caucus and something is afoot, some plan, a movement of some sort, then I play this. Every little movement has a meaning all its own. This lets the other candidates know that something is up. Something is happening, and that they better, check into it and see what's going on. So I sort of have a little musical code, as it were.
You do have a code. Would you like some aspirin?
I would, yes. I have a bad cough here, too. And thank you very much for interviewing me. And if you need an organist sometime, would you let me know? I've been doing these conventions since 28.
What do you do between the 4 years that there are no conventions?
Well, in the old days, I used to play in a silent movies. I used to accompany the Perils of Pauline and things like that, and then I'd take a 2-week vacation to come to the convention, but now it's kind of tough between engagements, I'll tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to a man who knows the span of work, the long time between jobs. Every 4 years, he whips out the old machine here and starts to play.
That's right.
We want to thank you very much for interviewing us. And
you interviewed me.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. I am. Back to the booth.
The tom-tom deck wing tell you of sky blue waters rippling coolly by you. They're singing. They're bringing cool refreshment to you.
From the land of sky blue waters comes a salty flavor refreshing hams beer. Oh, refreshing hams beer.
And now, refreshing Hams beer comes to you in a brand new pack. Hams Handy Refrigerator Pack. Fits any refrigerator shelf. Holds 6 full bottles. 6 new no-deposit glass bottles. So snug and compact, they just fit your hand. Yet each holds a full bottle of Hams. The same amount as the regular bottle or can. Pick up the new refrigerator pack soon. Brewed in the East, yours at local prices.
Clear the aisles, please. The chair recognizes the delegation.
Mr. Chairman, our delegation cast all its votes under the unit rule for the C.O. Ham Brewing Company.
Is that the one of Baltimore?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman. Baltimore, Maryland.
Here's a late bulletin from the WRC newsroom. Senator John Kennedy has just announced at a news conference in Los Angeles that he warns Senator Lyndon Johnson as his vice presidential running mate. The convention is expected to give the choice its quick approval. In the announcement, Kennedy also said he would like Senator Jackson of Washington to assume the role of Democratic National Chairman to replace the retiring Paul Butler. That's a late bulletin from the WRC newsroom in Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you no doubt are aware, during the convention coverage here on NBC, all the WRC and NBC newsmen are bringing you all the political news and highlights from the convention. And we want to bring you some of the human interest stories, as we have done recently. We interviewed the organist at the convention. Now we switch you to Los Angeles, California, and Willard Scott, who made a very fast trip out there, and he has another thrilling interview for you from the convention floor.
Get off my foot!
Ladies and gentlemen, Willard Scott speaking to you from the convention floor here in Los Angeles. And we're going to take our foot on the microphone and interview someone that I bet you are going to be quite surprised at his story.
Hooray!
He has a very interesting story. Perhaps you may hear in the background.
Hooray!
That was not him. One of the delegates just tripped over his lunch pail. It's been a rather grueling couple of hours in here.
Would you hand me my chitlin' before it fell out of the lunchbox?
Southern delegate here dropped his chitlin', and we're doing all we can. There's a live possum running across the aisle over there. He's switching his vote, I understand. The possum is moving into the northern camp. Anyway, let us talk now to this gentleman. This man's name is Mr. Clarence Rowdy.
That's correct. All my life I've been sort of a rowdy kid. In school I was the one that everybody wanted to poke in the mouth. I was always a noisemaker. Full of laughs.
May I explain to the audience, in case you don't have television and you can't see this at all, Mr. Clarence Rowdy, incidentally, we are on television. This is a simulcast. If you run and turn on channel 4 now, you will see us.
Good. I want to see myself.
No, not you. Right. You've got to stay here with us.
All right.
Mr. Rowdy is dressed in a green sport jacket. He has a yellow shirt on and a pair of purple trousers.
That's right.
He has three colored American red, white, and blue striped shoes.
That's right.
And he has a very big Uncle Sam hat on the top of his head, plus two tambourines and a horn in one hand and a bell in the other.
That's right.
So what is your job? What delegation do you represent?
I represent any delegation that hires me.
I beg your pardon?
I am a professional noisemaker.
I see.
I am a member in good standing of the Noisemaker Union, Local 473. Here's my card. And I come out to these conventions, and I'm hired by the hour to lead the demonstrations for the various delegates as they have their nominating speeches made.
Could you show us a little bit of your wares?
I have
your friend over here, your agent.
He's got a real situation. Now, first of all, I have this horn. I'll blow this for you. Right? There we are. And then I have the bell that I ring. But this is not too much unusual about that. The unusual trick is that I can do all these things at the same time and yell, too.
Oh, wait. It's impossible to blow your horn and yell at the same time.
Watch this.
Okay.
Hooray! Hooray!
Ladies and gentlemen, hooray! Clarence Rowdy is ringing the bell, blowing the horn, and yelling at the same time. How long did it take you to accomplish this?
I went to school for 2 years. I got my degree in simultaneous horn blowing and yelling.
I noticed the right corner of your lower lip is a half an inch below the rest of your lip.
Sort of a stereo effect.
It
saves them the expense of hiring two people. I get one guy, I charge union scale, and they get twice as much for their money.
Well, I may ask you a question.
Yes.
I noticed as we came in, there's nothing going on. Last night they elected the nominee for president, and they haven't even gotten underway yet for the nomination for vice president. Why are you yelling?
I was hired by the hour, and it's not my fault if they got the guy on the first ballot. I was hired for three or four ballots, and I believe in giving them their money's worth, and no matter what happens, I'm going to continue to cheer until the 8 hours is up.
Good boy.
Hooray!
We've been talking with Mr.
Hooray!
Clarence Rowdy. Now,
hooray!
Back up to the booth. Look,
we're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Morgan Beatty in B2Me in NBC News. Speaking to you from the sports arena. High tops and Los Angeles Harbor, looking out over this crowd of delegates. I can see down on the floor there's about 15, 20. How many do you see, Dick?
Oh, I'd say there's easily 15,000 in the arena right now, most.
I think things have been cut, ladies and gentlemen. Things have been just a little bit quiet over the past couple of hours. We've been up here broadcasting their brains out, doing all we could to bring you first-hand reports, but nothing too sensational happened. Dick, if you don't mind, I'm going to go on down and get a couple of hamburgers and a couple of cups of coffee.
Oh, if I were you, they're about to cast the ballot. I don't think you'd better leave.
My stomach stinks. My throat's cut, Dick. I got to get something to eat. I'm starving to death.
Well, Paul, I don't really think you ought to go now. But
let me tell you something, Dick. If you used to put a slice of bologna on my head, my tongue would beat my brains out trying to get to it.
Very humorous.
I've got a good
idea. I must say.
Would you like a little onion on yours and some mustard and a cup of...
If you're going, bring me a cup of coffee.
Cream and the coffee?
Yeah, cream and the
coffee. Okay, excuse me. I'll be back in a second here.
Things have been kind of quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, while Mo is out of the booth, I really don't think he should have gone. We find here that things are moving along at a great pace now. I can see that the ballot has, yes, it's a
darkness.
Thank you. I just received a bulletin here. The platform has been...
Bulletin, Mr. Darkness.
Thank you. The platform has been ratified. Everything is agreed to by the party. And we see in the second bulletin just handed me off the wire, we find that the candidate has won on the first ballot with an overwhelming majority. So this means, friends, that the convention is just about
to stop.
The delegates are leaving the auditorium.
Coffee with cream.
They have all gone. The crowd is entirely gone now. There they go.
Here's a couple of hot dogs, and if I can't have the microphone for just a second, Dick, a couple of interesting things I learned down there by the hot dog vendors. I found out a couple of hot tips that I think you ought to hear about.
I told you you shouldn't have left. If you looked down...
Well, I know, but it was very important that I found out what I did. There are two new phases that have entered this political picture that may be a reason why we'll be here all night.
I've got to tell you, the candidate was elected on the first ballot.
The candidate was going to be elected on the first... Yes, it already happened?
Yes, and the platform has been ratified. If you look down below, you will see that everyone has left the arena except the people who
are
cleaning up the debris. They've all gone out to have a party. And so, friends...
The place is quieter than the inside of a... I don't get it.
We conclude our broadcast from the arena. Mo, I told you...
The NBC Mobile Accounting Department's gone. We don't even get paid for this gig, do we, Dick?
You shouldn't have gone out for that coffee.
If I'm going to get my money out of this thing, my wife is up there...
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, I'm awake now that the show's over. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Ed Walker here.
Now that you're awake, the audience is asleep, so we just never seem to make it, do we?
That was Willard Scott saying so long for Art and George and Bob.
I didn't say so long for Art.
Well, I was saying it for you.
Where's our staff and us?
I'm right here to remind you that this program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Huntley nominates Brinkley for vice president tonight on the NBC television network.
Thank you, David.
WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. At the sound of the tone, the time will be exactly 7:30.
Just about time to go on the air here.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
Excuse me, I'm eating a Tootsie Roll, but I'm cleaning out some of this junk in my drawer here.
Oh, I see.
From the desk. It's ridiculous. You know how if you leave things alone long enough, it just seems to pile up and pile up and pile up and just
That's
clutter
true.
Up.
You got an awful lot of junk in there. Let me just see. What do you? I wish you wouldn't do while we're going on the air.
A couple of old ashtrays I got at Coney Island.
Hey, I might have one of those.
Want the ashtray?
Yeah. All right. Use that at home.
There's some other stuff. Hi, Bobby. How are you doing, boy?
Well, Bobby spotted something, and they found a couple of tape reels he says he can use in the recording room.
That's the first tape reel I ever used when I was at the old WIL down in town.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
You want that, Bobby? All right.
Very interesting.
Something well, you know what to say. stuff the waters up. It's like an attic.
Ooh,
you know,
here's something you better throw out.
Oh.
Black book of phone numbers there.
Oh,
that's a merry boy. We can throw that out. We don't want that.
Don't rip it up.
Yeah, I'm doing you a favor, kid.
Look, we can Halloween or something. We can play some games.
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, fellas, what are you doing here?
I'm trying to clean out my desk drawer here, Arthur.
Let me see if there's anything I can... Oh, there's a couple old tubes I can use on my lo-fi set.
Hey, look, here's a little transistor radio when they first came out around 1948.
For goodness sake.
Hey, you want this one at all? It's been burnt out for months and years.
Oh, I don't think I want it. Do you want it?
I don't want to know.
Well, I'll take it.
Now, they all want it. Wait a minute. Oh, maybe there's another one in the drawer.
Would you please leave the drawer alone? I'll get out and stuff in a minute. I just leave the drawer alone.
Wait, you got him going now. Hey,
hold you. You should leave the drawer. Come on. Now,
look. The whole desk. Turn the whole desk over. Fill my drawer out in the... I...
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, we've got the desk drawer cleaned up here a little bit now. It's time for the Joy Boys show for this Friday night.
Waller Scott here, Ed Walker doing the talking. And across the page over there.
Yeah.
Little old Bobby Shenton. And, of course, the ever-popular George Bruegen.
Yeah, we'll move it on.
You may be soon. What do you think?
I'm a little nervous.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
This is the acceptance speech night, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, don't be nervous, Arthur. I'm sure everything will work out fine.
We got a good show, as Willard just mentioned. We're going to have the acceptance speech a little later. Mr. Fix-It will be here.
And the WRC Roundtable of Knowledge with our panel of experts will be here. Very exciting.
Hey!
Wait a minute.
Hey!
Wait. What is all this? Wait. Mr. Sir.
I dropped it again.
Sir, would you mind...
Mm-hmm. Remember me? Clarence Rowdy.
No. You weren't supposed to remember us.
Huh?
I remember you. You're Clarence Rowdy.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. Yes, why?
Well, we interviewed you yesterday.
You interviewed me yesterday?
What are you doing up here?
I thought you looked kind of familiar, but I don't know. I was just not much going on. And
what were you doing in the studio?
Huh?
What were you doing?
I was hired to come up and applaud for the Joy Boys. Seems they haven't been getting enough laughs lately, and I'm looking for their studio.
We interviewed you yesterday on the convention floor,
you
though.
You did. You interviewed me on the convention floor.
Yeah. You don't remember?
No, there was so much going on, I don't remember too
much too noise,
well.
You probably...
I guess so, well.
Okay, well, thanks an awful
lot. Want me to
sit
over here and
No, just leave, will you?
You don't want me to laugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hooray!
Okay.
Hooray!
Professional noisemaker, please.
Hooray! Keep dropping it.
Talk to him.
Here's a famous call to a wonderfully refreshing flavor. The famous Hams beer flavor from the land of sky blue waters. And while we're enjoying Hams' crisp, clean-cut taste, let's have Hams' music.
Hints of lakes and sunset breezes. Dance and sparkle in each glass full. Hams of beer refreshing. Hams of beer refreshing. Hams.
That's it. Wonderful, wonderful Hams beer. That's your call to the most talked about flavor in all America. Hams beer. Refreshingly yours. From the land of sky blue waters.
Hooray! Hooray! The old Ham Brewing Company, Baltimore, Maryland. Hooray!
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company takes great pleasure in presenting the WRC Roundtable. of knowledge.
Well, I
have seated around our table three of the more distinguished members, students of economy in the United States and abroad. I would like to at this time introduce to you our panel members. After first telling you that each week we choose one word and with the help of our intelligence panel members discuss the derivation of that word. Before I tell you today's exciting word, I would like to first of all introduce you to our members and for you. Gentlemen, ladies, can I have your attention, please?
I don't know about these talking.
First of all, Professor.
That was a radio show that was on.
Professor, that was information, please.
Oh, yeah, man.
First of all, we have Mr. Orson Meyer representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago. Mr. Meyer?
Yes, I was slurping a little cup of coffee there. Yes, it's a great pleasure to be back with you again here on the study of etymology.
Second, Miss Anonym, formerly the Miss Synonym of 1932, now with the East-West-North-South Word Study Group for Word Preservation.
Yes, it is. Isn't that right? Hmm?
And finally, the eminent and distinguished gentleman, Professor of Neo-Anthro-Semitics from the Wiesbaden German Institute, Professor Heinrich Van Lein.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm kind of amazed that I got by the census for 3 weeks in a row there.
What's that?
Neo, whatever you said, I couldn't even pronounce it.
We've always...
I haven't been in this country a long distance yet.
Mr. Bridgen is always on the...
Don't let me hold up the show there.
I'm sure you won't. Don't worry about that.
No.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've met the panel members. Attention, please, panel members. Here, ring the bell and get our attention, please. Now, today's word. Today's word is husband.
Husband.
First of all, our first question will be directed to the eminent distinguished German professor of words, neo-anthro-semantics from Wiesbaden, Germany, Professor Heinrich Van Lein.
Yeah.
Would you tell us what you know about the word husband?
Not much. But if you want to break it down there, this is something that's sort of a professional term, actually.
Husband.
A house band is an orchestra that it plays in a theater. Like Sam Jack Kaufman had the house band at the theater here in Washington.
Nelson Riddle there. Miss Anonym, would you make a coffee alone? We'll get just 20 more coffee after the show.
Get your hands off my coffee.
Professor,
Nelson Riddle, he conducts for all the big singers and they use a house band.
Professor, I think you misunderstood. Let's go on. Mr. Meyer, Mr. Orson Meyer of the
Chicago. And Ray Hutton had a house band.
Yeah, Mr. Meyer. Please, Professor. Mr. Orson Meyer, representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago.
Yes.
Mr. Meyer, what do you know about the word husband and what is its derivation? Is it Anglo-Saxon or Juke?
Huh? Well, I think it's more neo-anthropomorphic. If you want a breakdown there.
Professor, don't look it up now.
I know more about it than this other character, though.
What is the word husband?
Husband is a guy who is a big star, like a football or baseball player, athlete, or an actor who is no longer recognized as the star that he once was. He's a has-been.
The word is not has-been.
Has-been.
Apparently,
what it is.
If you'd left the crumpets alone...
Has-been.
And you realize there'd be plenty of them to eat after the show, you'd have understood the word is husband.
Perfect would be had-been. Future perfect would have been.
Miss Anonym, finally, before our time runs
this
up.
Very ridiculous.
I'm sorry, please. This is Miss Anonym, formerly the Miss Synonym of 1932,
yes.
Now with the East, West, North, South Word Study Group for Word Preservation. Miss Nim?
Yes.
What do you know about the word husband?
Husband is taken from the word husbandry, which is the study of scientifically raising animals.
All
husbands are like animals anyway.
I think this is
that did it. I don't have to...
Personal evaluation.
So
I think the word husbandry has nothing to do with husbands. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with our panel members, Mr. Orson Meyer, representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago, Ms. Anonym, formerly the Miss Synonym of 1932, now with the East, West, North, South Institute for the Abolishment. And finally, the eminent and distinguished gentleman, Professor of Neo-Anthro-Semantics, Wiesbaden, Germany, Professor Heinrich Van Lein. Today's word has been husband. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, forget it.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we mentioned earlier, today is a rather big day here at WRC because sort of coinciding with a big political convention out in Los Angeles, the engineers have had their elections here at WRC, and our own Arthur Page, lovable man that he is, has been chosen the next president of the Engineers Union, and he's about to make his acceptance speech. So right now we're going to switch you to Willard Scott with the portable transmitter upstairs in the office area. Willard?
I know, honey. Look, all we got to do... You see, I've got this little cabin down the country. We can all go down there and have a little party tonight.
Hello,
I think the best thing for us to do,
Willard,
I'll take
Scott,
you all
are you listening?
In the office here about...
Ed Walker in the studio. Willard.
Mary's going out twice.
Willard,
you're on the air, kid. I think you're in the wrong office area. You're in the girls' traffic department.
Oh, my goodness. Girls, look. Girls. I'll see you later. I better get out of here. I'm sorry. Would you reintroduce me?
Yeah, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, a little mix-up there with our walkie-talkies. Now we're going to try once again to pick up Willard Scott as he approaches the engineer's meeting room. Willard?
Here's the door over here. I'll just open the door and, yeah, here's the hall there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Willard Scott speaking to you from the Engineers Lounge.
Yay!
Here at the National Broadcasting Company. As my colleague up in the booth, Ed Walker, just told you, this has been a very exciting week here at NBC. The engineers have been campaigning, and the nominating speeches have been made. And between the five candidates, our own Arthur Page, WRC engineer, was nominated. I see the crowd has certainly quieted down all of a sudden there. They saw that group of girls leaving that I was talking to a minute ago, and they're all watching them go out the door. Now, we are proud that our own engineer, Arthur Page, was nominated as the candidate for WRC's union engineers thing. At this time, we're awaiting the arrival of our engineer-elect, Mr. Arthur Page. And the door has been opened, and ladies and gentlemen, in a beautiful red and blue SR-72, here he is. He's pulling up to the podium then. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the nominee-elect for the convention here for the NBC engineers, our own Arthur Page.
Thank you.
The tumultuous applause.
Thank you.
Here in the lounge is for the engineer, Arthur Page. WRC Engineers Union.
Thank you.
Page is banging his gavel. Calling the meeting to come to order. Now back to the podium to Mr. Page.
Gentlemen, it's a real honor and privilege to greet you as your official president of the union for the next year. I want to take this opportunity... Would you roll that thing a little faster? Right. I want to take this opportunity... Somebody ripped the... Wait a minute. I'll tape it together here. I had it all written out, fellas. I want to take this opportunity of thanking you for your confidence instilled in me through your votes. Now, let me point this out. I worked vigorously in this campaign. People ask me that I work hard, and I tell them it was a big nothing. But actually, it was a big something, because I worked, and I worked with you in mind. Now then, if I'm elected, well, I am elected, but what I'm going to do for you guys in the next year, first of all, we're going to install teletrays in every control room so that when you're doing a record show, you do not have to leave your chair in order to order your dinner. Wonderful. Secondly, we will have a ruling that since the telephone is a method of communications, it can only be dialed by a unionized engineer. And thirdly, all doors that squeak will be oiled by unionized engineers, and we will have only union men acting as doormen. And in closing, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why I said ladies. They're not supposed to be any... You girls, will you get out of here? You don't belong to engineers. Coffee watch. Gentlemen, in closing, once again, let me thank you for this wonderful thing that you have done for me. And I want to tell you that in the next year, you will get yours, because I, Arthur Page, am your president.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may be able to tell that the crowd is going wild. You may not be able to tell that the microphone just broke. The crowd goes wild.
You want my autograph? Thank you.
The crowd is going wild.
Very happy to sign your
autograph. There is a tremendous surge of quietness in the hall now, as a bunch of the girls came back in.
I think my speech was a big nothing.
Definitely, this has turned into a... I think you've heard the speech, you've heard the acceptance speech. Our engineers successfully approved the platform, and now Arthur Page is the election nominee. There he goes.
Come on, fellas.
Get in the car. There's his campaign manager, Bobby Stetson. And there they go. Out among the candidates. Thank you, and back to the studio.
This week, Safeway is featuring U.S. number one new white potatoes in a 10-pound poly bag, only 49 cents. No price higher. None priced higher at Safeway. Always great, whether baked, boiled, fried, mashed, sliced, or served whole, or mixed with other foods. Potatoes mean health and energy for your family. By the way, if you're watching your waistline, keep this in mind, that a medium-sized potato has about 100 calories, which is about the same number of calories as you find in an orange or an apple. U.S. number one, new white potatoes, only 49 cents. At Safeway, where food is first.
Go shop your friendly Safeway store and you'll see what we mean. Your friendly Safeway store.
Just a paper moon.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for WRC's own Mr.
TV
Fix-It.
Or not TV, that is
here
the question.
He is sitting across the table from me right now in his basement workshop. Ahoy there, Mr. Fix-It.
Hi there, Willard Scott. As you'll notice, I have the television set all disassembled here, and I'm repairing it.
Wonderful. I see the television tubes all scattered out there. The picture tube is in the way.
Let me adjust the yoke on the picture tube.
What are you doing to the television?
I'm repairing it myself. It was a rush job. I want to get it all fixed up, and I didn't have a whole lot of money to spend. And the tube was bad. There, it is all fixed now. See, I want to watch the big convention coming up this week.
Looks terrific.
I don't want to have anybody say that I'm not watching the Democratic convention, of course.
The Democratic convention?
Yes, sir. I've set
it's all over tonight. This is the acceptance speech tonight. It's all over. Yeah.
You mean I...
Yeah, you missed it. The whole... Don't bust that the Republicans will be on next week.
You can't win.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio.
And so another week is over. We want to thank our producer, Richard the Lionhearted, our director, Marco Polo, scripts and special material by Queen Isabella, our lawyer, Clarence Darrell.
Well, we lost another one, boy.
And our engineers, Bobby Shetton, Arthur Page,
nothing.
George Brinker. Here's our announcer.
This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces in Rockville.
What is
the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio.
Jed Huntley falls out of the booth tonight on the NBC television network.
Good night, Dave!
And a WRC AM and FM, NBC in Washington, 7:30.
Afternoon or evening.
Evening, actually.
Mm-hmm. Evening there, Ed. Yes, I had a nice weekend. Evening, Ed.
Evening, Will. I think we've established that it's evening, Will.
Did you have a good evening, Ed?
Yeah.
Had a good weekend.
I had a wonderful weekend, Will.
Wonderful.
And it's nice to be back to work here, though, I want you to know.
We got all the...
Did you take that, please?
Totally operator. No calls in here. I'll get it. Hello, Studio 2.
I'd like to talk to either David Brinkley or Chet Huntley, please.
I'm sorry, sir. You have Studio 2 here at NBC. This is Washington. I think they're in Chicago now.
Well, somebody got to be there. How about Morgan Beatty or Robert McCormick?
No, I'm sorry. You don't understand, sir. None of the fellows in the newsroom are here in Washington. The Democratic convention was just over in Los Angeles, and now the boys are all on their way to Chicago. You can't get any newsmen here at all.
Nobody there? You mean all the guys that were there, like Henry Bill and Russ Turnip Greens and all these fellows, they're on their way to Chicago?
I'm terribly sorry, sir. As I told you, we can't help you at all here. I'll give you the local news desk if you'd like me to.
All I want is somebody who's got a key to this place. This is Peter Hacksaw, NBC News. I'm locked in the sports arena. Went down to get a hot dog. When I came back, everybody left and gone to the Coliseum, and I've been locked in here all weekend.
Peter, I didn't recognize you. Your voice sounds tired or something.
I've been living on hot dogs and orangeade all weekend. I got to get out of here. Would you contact one of those fellows and tell them to please get a key and come out here? I'll never make it to Chicago.
Certainly, Pete. I'll come.
After all,
good luck, Pete.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's too bad. Peace and luck.
The joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Hey, well, it's time for the Joy Boys show for this Monday evening. This is Ed Walker here.
Well, it's Scott over here. We want to say thank you all very much for...
You're welcome.
We have in the studio our engineering staff here, the Par Excellence Group. First of all, on the turntables, Mr. George Brewington of Fairfax here.
Uncomfortable on this turntable.
Wow, get off the turntable, George, and sit down on the chair and next to me. Standing next to him, looking gaunt and bleary-eyed, is our recording engineer, Mr. Robert Chet. And, of course, back there on the overstuffed chair is our overstuffed supervising engineer, Mr. Arthur Page, who is now walking up towards the console.
Who deals? We're on the air.
We're going to ride gay on the show.
Ride herd on the show, yes.
Would you like to tell them what's coming up on this show this evening?
Certainly, Edward. First of all... Today on our program, we will feature Captain Daybreak and all the gang. We shall also take you to one of the most exciting new radio television shows in the business, Open Wide, which is a very big
Open show. Wide? Sounds like something a dentist would put out there.
In a way, it's got a little mouthy quality to it.
Here's a public service bulletin board.
Arthur Codfish.
Here's
a public service, Edward.
The Hyattsville Hedgehoppers are hopping hedges and having a wonderful time in Hyattsville. So if you'd like to hedge hop with the Hedgehoppers of Hyattsville, start hopping hedges in Hyattsville. How about that?
Helpers, please hear this.
Captain Daybreak!
Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, brings you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. Now, for tonight's exciting episode.
Now, boys and girls, tonight's exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. As our story opens, we find Captain Daybreak, Chuck, Joyce, Billy, Ichabod, Rin Tin Tin, Orville Wright, and Brownie Troop Number 28 from Springfield, Virginia, inside Captain Daybreak's apartment. Apparently, all the gang are trying to decide on going to a movie tonight as Captain Daybreak opens the newspaper.
Well, gang, we've had a very hectic week here trying to find some of the criminals and desperados. I think we're entitled to a night off, so we're going to the movies.
Got any pumps, Captain Daybreak? That's a wonderful idea. Pollyanna is playing downtown. It's a Walt Disney picture. I got any bumps. I certainly like Walt Disney.
I'd like to see that Snow Queen. That's another
Corny movie there, Joyce.
Just a moment, kids. Let's see if I can find the movie section.
Captain Daybreak.
Yes.
Sunlanders have got one down there.
I'd like to see that, huh?
I heard it on the radio.
Captain Daybreak, how about if we go see that strangest woman we meet?
You just tore the movie section of the paper, Chuck. Would you take it easy, please?
Hey, Bumps! Yeah, Chuck, will you take it easy?
You're Chuck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Billy, you ripped my hand as I was... I'm sorry. It's all right, Billy.
Now, we must decide on a movie here.
Sufferings, Captain Daybreak.
Yes.
I think there's a couple of good newsreels running over at the MacArthur of Embiir.
Oh, that sounds good. Why don't we go over there?
The coronation of the queen or something. I think.
Why don't we check the movie times?
I don't want to see that corny thing there, Ichabod.
Doc, it's free. Don't be so picky.
Why don't we get some passes? Call up citizens or something. You know, why do we have to sit around here all day long like this?
Doc, if you check
We're fooling around. We won't even get to the movies at all.
Check the movie time for the newsreels over there with you on the English movie. What time does it start?
Let me check up here.
different fish are fish. I wish you wouldn't fool around so long. I'm getting bored just sitting here.
Nickabod, we must make a good decision.
Yeah.
We don't want to just go to any old movie because there's so many things that young people shouldn't see these days.
Captain Daybreak, last movie starts at 8:40.
It's now 8:50.
Uh-oh.
Different fish are fish. Give me a great day. I think we,
Well, it was a good idea, Chuck.
Take
a lot.
I'm sorry.
Got the idea a little earlier.
Only one thing to do now, gang. Turn on the television and we'll fake it.
Not me. I couldn't
watch it. The greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink has brought you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak.
Captain Daybreak.
New green cabbage is featured this week at Safeway. Only 4 cents a pound. Fresh, crisp, and delicious new green cabbage from Safeway is an ideal base for many wonderful meal dishes. Cabbage and apples, cabbage bacon casserole, or cabbage with cheese. There are many wonderful ways to serve cabbage, and everyone sure to please your family. Highly nutritious, cabbage is also... It's wonderful for your waistline if you're a Weight Watcher. So why don't you add cabbage to your meal? It's only 4 cents a pound this week at your nearby Safeway store where food is fresh.
Your friendly Safeway store and you'll see what you mean. Your friendly Safeway store.
Johnny could only sing one note.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting the newest and most fascinating show in broadcasting, Open Wide, created by its narrator and producer David Saucepan. Open Wide gets a group of stimulating conversationalists together and simply lets them go. There is no time limit, or the sponsor's message can be heard at any point in the program. Open Wide was originally conceived to bring more interesting conversation into your home, without the problem of a time limit. Now, here to introduce today's guest and the topic of the day is our narrator, producer, creator of Open Wide, myself, Mr. Saucepan. Here I am. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Saucepan speaking to you from our studio here in the National Broadcasting Company. And if I would please have your attention, please, I would like to introduce to you our guest for tonight's interesting, stimulating program of conversation. You leave my script alone, please, Mr. Rex. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we have Mr. Rex Rex, the noted Hollywood and Broadway actor.
How do you do, Mr. Saucepan? I am very honored and privileged to be here.
The next member of our panel, very informed, Dr. Sidney Zanzibar, author of the current best-selling novel, Mine Enemy is Chicken. Mr. Zanzibar.
Thank you very much, sir. It is a great pleasure to be with you on this program because I have a feeling that what I have to say will be of great import to the country at large.
To add to the scintillating, sterling character of our program, we have chosen the flower of all bells, Mrs. May Rocky, president of the Tall Women of America and narrator of the highly successful motion picture Women of the Amazon, which she filmed herself in living color. Mrs. Rocky,
welcome. You're very kind, Mr. Zanzibar, and I can't thank you enough for this opportunity.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I think, Mrs. Rocky,
yes.
I think the microphone is a little low for you.
It is.
Would
yes.
you raise the microphone? Get the engineer to... Engineer Cloud, you won with me.
Yes, well, as I said before, Mr. Saucepan, it's a great pleasure to be on this program. I enjoy good, stimulating conversation so much.
Is it all right to leave the microphone to that position?
I think that's very comfortable.
Okay, the engineers approve of this, all right. Everybody else has... excuse me, Dr. Loser.
Yes.
We have with us, again, another gentleman of some note, Dr. Lawrence Loser, humanitarian, author, professor of anthropology, and seven-time loser of the Pulitzer Prize.
Whatever you do, don't call me Larry. That bugs me.
No, sir, Mr. Lawrence.
Everybody has a habit of saying, hi, there, Larry.
Well, I just don't care for that.
We have met our panelists.
Dignity in that.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now to begin discussion of today's topic. First of all, if I may just pull this one out of the top of my hat.
Really?
Last week was a very exciting week in our country.
Yeah.
The 1960 political campaigns got underway, and the Democrats, of course, met in Los Angeles and chose a candidate. First of all, Mr. Rex Rex, how do you feel about the candidate on the Democratic Party?
The convention, you mean, last week?
No, the candidate.
The candidate that they picked for the, well, I'll be quite honest with you. Of course, I'm filming now. We're on the set at 6 a.m., and I watch a little wrestling Monday night. Tuesday night the set blew out, and I didn't pay.
You do know who the candidate
attention
is
to
party is?
No. I'm busy with a Western.
Dr. Sansabar, I'm sure that in seeing the television last week, you saw the Democratic Convention from Los Angeles. What did you think of the size of the stadium and the behavior of the delegates to the convention?
Would you rephrase that, old boy? I wasn't paying too close attention there. I'm not very good at estimating, what you would call it, the circumference or
the size. The size is not so important. What did you think of the behavior of the?
I'm very sorry. The delegates.
What did you think of their behavior?
Well, I don't know anything about their personal lives, sir. On television, you don't get to. You don't know the inner person.
I see. Well, that's.
You don't.
Rex.
You're the king of.
Mr. Rex. Mrs. May Rocky? Mrs.
Yes.
Rocky? Mrs. Rocky?
Yes.
In seeing the conventions last week, how do you feel the Democratic ticket will compare to any ticket that the Republicans
have? Well, I like the token system better than tickets. I have found that
they
don't get bent in your pocketbook.
The two candidates that were chosen.
Carrying tokens and riding on the street.
The two candidates that were.
What's that? I don't.
Mr. Lawrence Loser has been sitting over there very patiently.
Okay. Dear me,
Mr. Loser?
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, time's up, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
There's a word from our sponsor right now, and folks, would you all come
tonight?
Folks, this is just a break for this
program.
We're going to. This is David Saltzman, ladies and gentlemen.
Set at 6 a.m. You don't mind if I leave.
Stay tuned for this commercial, and then we will continue with another panel. We got to get a new panel, fellas. Come on, let's get this mic.
It was on a night like this.
And now, Lollapalooza, the greatest name in lemon pie filling, brings you Author Codfish Time. And here he is, Author, the old pie face, Codfish.
Like old times, haven't used to talk with
Author, we can't
you
use that
like old.
Carmen Lombardo is fighting it, Author.
Son of a gun, Carmen.
A royalty problem on that, Author.
Let me put the old fella down here.
Beautiful summer morning, is it, Author?
Beautiful day. I've got a little bit of a bite in my ear, my right ear. Let me scratch a little bit here.
Author, you're on camera.
Son of a gun, it's been such a nice week, and yesterday was such a beautiful day.
Yes. What time did you arrive at Teterboro this morning, Arthur?
We flew into the airport about 7 o'clock this morning. We left Leesburg about 5:30 last night.
What?
We
40 hours, Arthur. What happened?
Well, we had a little trouble over Baltimore. What? And we were waylaid at the airport for about a half an hour. And then we went up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And then we flew back in by way of Kutztown. It's a little development up in Northern.
You were converted there, weren't you, Arthur?
We had a few books there we had to deliver. meatball in your kitchen, giggling like a hyena. Lollapalooza is the name of the pie filling on this. You know this.
This is, pardon me for interrupting, Arthur. I shouldn't do that. I know.
I don't pardon you for it, but
this is something we have used around the Marvin, around the meatball house. For many years, Arthur.
Sounds funny when you say it that way, doesn't it? The meatball house.
Yes. And we hope that it'll be a, much a favorite in your house.
May I point out to the nice girls? May I point out to the nice girls listening that the wonderful thing about Lollapalooza is the moistness of it. It's moist, just so light and fluffy feeling, and it's so moist.
Nothing worse than a dry lemon pie.
It's so nice and moist, and the moisture gets inside of you and makes you feel moist all over.
Arthur, why don't you give the people a consumer's test and try our finally embrace pie?
Would the girl bring you a little slice of the filling? Come here, honey.
No, Mr. Catfish.
Thank you, Carmel Milan. All right. Thank you, fine lass there. Let me just take a forkful here, and I'll... Oh, the... It's so moist. It's moistening. I can taste the...
Sounds good, Arthur.
Really wonderful feeling. The moistness is in the feeling. The moistness is all over the feeling.
Arthur, you have a hole in your pocket, Arthur. I
know
strange noises.
It's in the feeling.
You mean your pie is spilling, Arthur?
The feeling in my teeth are falling out. I got a feeling the feeling's falling. I got a feeling you're falling. Falling. One of my gold ones fell out there. Send it down to the accounting office.
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
That's it for the joy boys for this Monday. Till tomorrow then, this is Ed Walker.
Willard Scott here thanking our writers for the wonderful show that they gave us and hope that they'll all be with us again tomorrow. Now here's Charlie Stafford who says,
remember, this program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas.
Wonderful, Charlie. Yeah.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Wow. WRC, WRC-FM, Washington, 7:30.